Micah chapter number 7 and verse number 18. Read it with me aloud. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Verse number 19 says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I want to preach to you this morning, who is a God like unto thee? Who is a God like unto thee? And let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day you've given to us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help me, Lord, to preach the most concise way, the way you want this message to get across, Lord. I pray for those who are in this room, especially the children and teenagers, to sit still while the preaching, that no distractions will take them, Lord. I believe this will help everybody in the room, no matter how old and how young. And I pray that you'll help us to listen to your word this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Who is a God like unto thee? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Turn your Bible real quick to Exodus 23. We're going to turn to Exodus chapter number 23. Exodus chapter 23, we're going to read one verse, and we're going to skip back to right where we were. I feel like a sermon like this, I couldn't go without reading this passage. Exodus 23 and verse number 13, and in all things I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Now I think that's something we're all guilty of. The Bible says not even to mention their names. There's two types. Well, before we get into it, you have polytheistic and monotheistic. One believes that there is one true God. Polytheistic means you believe in many gods. Well, I'm here to tell you it's a little bit of both. There is only one true God, but there are other gods. There are other gods in this world, as expressed here and in Micah. And God says, I don't even want you mentioning their names. You see, God is a very jealous God. He is the only true God. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of gods. And he says, you know what? I am the only true God. I'm a very jealous God, and I want all the attention, and I want all the credit coming to me. And he says, you know what? I don't even want you to mention their names. Don't even let their names come out of your mouth. So I'm going to do my best this morning to preach unto you and tell you how good our God is without mentioning the name of all the other ones. But I'm going to mention one, and it's in the Bible, so if I'm wrong, we'll blame God when we get there. But when I think of this message, when I read this passage, the first story that comes to my mind is the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. If you know the story, there's been a drought in the land, and Elijah is summoned to have a contest, if you will, not to get into all the details of the story, but he's going to have a contest against 400 prophets of Baal to prove who the true God is. And the Baal prophets are all gathered together, and here's Elijah by himself. And he says, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have an altar, and you're going to have an altar, and I'm going to have an altar. And what we're going to do is we're going to prepare a sacrifice for our God, you for Baal and me for God. And then we're going to pray to our gods, and whoever burns his sacrifice without our fire will be proven to be the God. Well, if you know the story, the Baal priests get their altar. They prepare their sacrifice and begin praying to Baal, calling out and praying for Baal to burn up their sacrifice. Nothing happens. My favorite part of the story is Elijah's attitude. Elijah says, you know what? I'm going to have a little fun with this. He starts mocking and making fun of the false prophets of Baal. He said, what's the matter? Maybe your God can't hear you. Maybe you should speak a little louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe you should wake him up. And they began to cry and wail, the Bible says, and it got so bad they began to cut themselves with knives that maybe they could get God's attention. And Elijah is laughing and enjoying himself. And you know what he says? Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he took a break. Keep yelling and keep screaming in a very mocking and condescending way. Elijah says, you know what? Maybe your God just can't hear you. They can't call down fire. Elijah comes over, and if you know the story, in a time of drought, he gathers and douses his whole altar with water, douses the sacrifice with water, and all of a sudden prays for fire to come down. The Bible says that fire came down, not only consumed the sacrifice, but it consumed the altar, and God destroyed the 400 prophets of Baal to say, you know what? Who is a God like unto thee? I'm going to ask you that question, morning. Who is a God like unto our God? Oh, we say he's God, and we say we believe in God, but do we truly, Josiah, do we truly believe that God is a great God? Do we truly understand the power of God, and do we truly give God credit where credit is due? You see, God is a great God. And we read throughout the Bible, I can find instances and instances on how great our God is. Do you understand that our God created the universe and everything that's in it in 7 days? I didn't come from a big bang. I didn't come from an evolutionary theory. I came from God Almighty. God reached down from the dust of this earth. He formed my father Adam, and from that came I, and so came you. You didn't come from a monkey. You didn't come from a tadpole. God made you. Do you understand that God knows the numbers on your head? When you lose a hair on your head, God knows that one fell out. God knows everything about you. He knows more about you than your doctor does. He knows more about you than you do. God is a great God. Do you understand there are millions and billions of people in this world, but God cares about you individually as if you were the only one he ever created. That's how great my God is. No other God can claim this title. No other God can claim the title of being able to have everything the way my God does. And I understand their fakes and their fairy tales and their fables, but even their made-up stories aren't as good as my God, who's a real true story. I thank God that my God is like this. Is it true this God was able to burn a bush without it being consumed? Is it true that my God turned the rivers into blood? Is it true that my God split the Red Sea so that Moses and the people of Israel could walk across on dry land? And by the way, it was dry. It wasn't muddy. It wasn't a foot of water. The Bible says it was dry land they walked across. God split the sea and they walked across, and the same God that split it closed it back up and killed the whole Egyptian army. That is my God. What God is like unto this? My God provided a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night for the people of Israel as they escaped Egypt. My God sent down manna and quail to feed his people. This God provided fresh water when the water was bitter. My God delivered Daniel from a lion's den. My God was in the fire protecting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My God used 300 men of Gideon to destroy an army of 15,000 men of the Midianites. My God raised an army from the valley of dry bones. And I could go on and on. He made the deaf to hear. He made the lame to walk. He raised the dead from the grave. My God is a great God. But I have a question for you. You're in church this morning. You're here. You carried a Bible to church. You picked yourself up and made it inconvenient to make it to God's house this morning. But I got to ask you, do you really believe that your God is the same God? Is there something in your life that you're going through and you don't have the answer for and you don't have a solution for and you look at it and say, it's too big for me and I can't solve this problem? I got to ask you this morning, how big is your God? Do you believe the God of the Bible? Or do you believe what you hear on TV or hear on the radio? I got to ask you that. What is it that you believe? Do you believe the same book I believe? Because my book says my God is a consuming fire. My Bible says that God is great. I have a list here. My Bible in 1 Thessalonians 4:6 calls him the Avenger. In Genesis 17:1, he's called the Almighty. He's called the All in All, the Alpha, the Ancient of Days, the Beginning, the Bread of God, the Bread of Life, the Bright and Morning Star. He's called the Captain of Salvation. He's called the Chosen One. He's called the Christ. He's called the Comforter. He's called the Commander. He's called the Consolation of Israel. He's called the Consuming Fire and the Cornerstone and the Creator. He's called the Deliverer. He's called the Eternal God. He's called the Everlasting Father, the Everlasting God. He's called Excellent. He's called the Faithful Witness. He's called the Fortress and the Foundation. And he's called the Friend. Thank God for that, that God is a friend to you and I. He's called God. He's called God Almighty. He's called the Good Shepherd. He's called the Governor. He's called the Great High Priest. He's called the Head of the Body. He's called the Head of the Church. He's called Heir to all things. He's called the Judge, and he's called the King. He's called the King Eternal. He's called King of Kings and King of Saints, the Lamb of God, the Last Adam, the Lawgiver. He's even called a Leader. He's called the Light of the World. He's called the Lily of the Valley. He's called like an Eagle. He's called the Living Water. He's called the Living Stone. He's called the Lord of Lords. He's called the Lord of the harvest and Lord of all glory. He's called love. He's called the maker. He's called the master. He's called the man of sorrows. He's called the majesty on high. He's called the mediator and the merciful God, the messenger of the covenant. He's even called Messiah, the mighty God and Omega. He's called the physician and the potentate and the potter and the power of God and the prince of peace. He's called the propitiation. He's called the quickening spirit. He's called the redeemer. He's called the resurrection. My God is a great God. And I've got to ask you this morning, what God is like unto thee? What kind of God has the names that my God has? What kind of God has the power that my God has? He's called the shield, and he's called the spirit. He's called the source. He's called the Son of the Most High. He's called the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Truth. He's called the Stone of Israel. He's called the Stronghold. He's called the Strong Tower. He's called the Son of Righteousness, Teacher, the Temple, the One, the True Light. He's called Truth and the Vine, the Wall of Fire, the Way, Wisdom of God, and Witness. He's called Wonderful. He's called the Word. And he's called the Word of God. My God is an amazing God. But the most amazing part of this passage to me is that Micah doesn't use any of that to describe how great God is. Micah says he's forgiving. You know why my God is better than every other God? It's because he forgave me of my sins. Yes, he created the universe. Yes, he performed all these miracles. And yes, he did all these great things. And we can sit here all day and name his names and tell of his great acts. But that's not what sets my God apart from every other God. You know what sets my God apart from every other God is that he looked down on me and said, I will save your soul from an eternal hell because I love you. There's not another God that has ever done that. There's not another God who has ever died for his own creation so that they can have eternal life. My God is the only one. And I got to ask you this morning, what God is like unto thee? Oh, we can talk about stories and fairy tales about great things other gods have done, but no other God has even come close to what my God has been able to accomplish. Not only has my God forgiven my sins of my past, thank God I was saved at a young age, and God looked down on me and said, I'll forgive you. My God is so good that he looked at me when he saved me of March of 1993 and said, you know what? You're such an idiot that I'm not only going to forgive the past sins you committed, but the sins you're still going to commit after I save your wretched soul. I'll still forgive those. That's how great my God is. Your God looked down at you when you were a wretched sinner on your way to hell. He said, you're on your way to hell and I love you. I'll pay for your sins. The Bible says, but God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew 2,000 years ago that you would live. He knew that you would sin. He knew that you would rebel against God. He said, I love you and I will die for you just for the chance that maybe, possibly, you'll accept me. And he did that for you. And even after you accept him, if you've accepted him as your Savior, even after he says, I love you enough, I'm going to forgive the sins you're already going to commit. I already know you're going to commit them. I already know you're going to do wrong. I love you enough that I'll die for those sins too. What God is like unto thee? Turn your Bible to 1 John chapter number 1. You know, we're not just talking about other gods, but there are things that we make gods. You know, the Greeks had a god for everything. God for rain, God for sun. There's gods for everything. Why? Because we want to fill ourselves with something else other than the one true God. We don't want to be accountable to the God who created us. So we make gods. You ever meet somebody and say, well, you die today, do you know you go to heaven? Well, this is what I think. Well, let me tell you something. I don't care what you think, and I don't care what I think. I want to know what does God say? I don't care what your philosophy about religion in this world and eternity is. I really don't care. I want to know what does God say? And then I'll listen to that. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 2:1 says, and ye have quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Isaiah 1:8 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 43 says this, I am he that blotteth out transgression for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. You understand that when God forgave you for his sins, he literally has forgotten about them. When God forgave your sins, he says, I don't remember them anymore. Once you've asked Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, God looks at you as if you've never sinned. You'll still reap consequences for your sins, and you are still responsible for your actions. But when God looks at your soul, he says, I have saved your soul. I have cleansed you clean. The moment I die, I'll wake up in heaven, and I'll see my Savior's face because he died for me. I'll see the hand scars on his hands. I'll see the scars on his feet. I'll see the scars on his brow. And he did it for me, and he did it for you. And I've got a question for you this morning. What God is like unto thee? What God, you tell me, is more magnificent than my God? Use your imagination, try and create one, and you can't, because my God is great. Let me ask you something. There's plenty of people who have other gods in their lives this morning. Maybe their God is a football game, and they can't make it to church because they'd rather be watching a football game this morning. That's okay. You know what they've done? They've made that game their God. Well, guess what? My God is a little better than a pigskin and some piping on a field of green. My God is great. And I can look to my Savior and ask him and talk to him anytime I want, and he can save my soul from hell. That's more than I can say for any sports game. I thank God that I have a God who loves me. That when I'm going through a hard time in my life, I can look to him and say, God, I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your comfort. I have a word of God that I can go to and hear from him and know what he has for me. What God is like unto thee. Acts 3:19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Psalm 103:12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's an infinite direction that way. That's an infinite direction that way. That's how far it is God has removed my sins. God looked down on me and said, I will save your soul from hell. Do you understand that if it weren't for God, we deserve to be burning in hell this very moment? Any breath you get is a bonus, my friend. You and I are sinners against an almighty God. The only thing we deserve is to burn in hell for all eternity. So that's a little harsh. That's not fair. That's the truth. That's what it is. But God said, I love you. I will send my son to die for you. And if you accept him, you'll have a place in heaven. You understand that Ann Moody right now is walking on streets of gold as we speak. She's not in pain anymore. She's not restricted to a walker or a wheelchair anymore. She is literally dancing down, yes, dancing down streets of gold as we speak. Hey, that's how great my God is. That he's building a mansion for me that he talked about in Matthew that I am going to live in one day. I have a God who is that good. But the most magnificent thing about my God is that he looked down on me and said, I will forgive you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're already saved. You've already accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm happy for you. But maybe you've forgotten how great your God is. And you've been concerned yourself with everything else in your life instead of how great our God is. How wonderful it was our God is. You ought to take yourself back to where you were before you got saved. Maybe your life wasn't a mess. Maybe your life wasn't in shambles, but your soul was because you were on your way to hell. You're on your way to heaven now if you're saved. But maybe you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're on your way to hell this morning. Without Jesus Christ, you will spend an eternity in a lake of fire with no escape. That's what the Bible says. It's not politically correct. It's not even accepted by most. It's too harsh, but it's what God says. But you know what? My God made a way for me to escape, the Bible says. He looked down on me and said, you know what? That day Adam sinned in the garden, and there needed to be a sacrifice for sin. God began making a way for Jesus Christ to come and die for your sins and my sins. Before you were ever even a thought of, before you and I were ever even thought into existence, if you will, God looked down and said, you know what? I love my creation so much, I'm going to make a way for them to be forgiven of every sin they've ever committed. Do you understand if you're saved, you're going to sin? And that sin has already been forgiven. The sin you haven't even committed yet, the sin you haven't even thought of yet, God has said, I've already forgiven you. That's how great my God is. What God is like unto thee? Hebrews 10:17 says, in their sins and iniquity, I will remember no more. Matthew 26:28 says this, for this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. You can go a block down the street, one block south, and you walk in the door, and they'll have a big cross with a man hanging on a cross. But it means absolutely nothing to them. Because the reason they're in church this morning is so they can make their way to heaven. The reason they went to church this morning is so they could make their confession. Amen. So they could baptize their son or daughter who's 3 months old. That's not forgiveness. That's earning something. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter number 1. We'll close with this. Galatians chapter number 1. My Bible says heaven is a free gift of God. And if Jesus died for our sins, there's nothing I can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. I don't care if you remember a Baptist church or not. You could be a member of a Baptist church your entire life and die and go to hell. This church ain't going to get you to heaven. Your mama ain't going to get you to heaven. Your daddy ain't going to get you to heaven. The only thing that gets a person to heaven is Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. Galatians chapter number 1, and we're going to read verse number 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What God is like unto thee? But I got to ask you a question this morning. Maybe here this morning you say, I believe in God, and I believe the God you're speaking of. But are you believing in another gospel this morning? Oh, sure, you believe that God is God and Jesus Christ is God, and that's great, and I'm excited for you. I really am. But I got to ask you, what gospel are you believing in? Because there's a perverted gospel out there, but there's only one gospel that's the truth. And that's that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He conquered death and hell by raising from the grave on the third day for you and I. And the only way to get to heaven is by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can attend church here. You can get baptized here this Sunday morning. You can attend here for the rest of your life, still wake up, die, and wake up in hell. Because this church can't get you to heaven. The only way a person gets to heaven is by receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I thank God that I can look up to God and say, you know what? What God is like unto me? Unto thee. Yes, he split the Red Sea. Yes, he performed all the miracles. Yes, he picked up Elijah in a chariot of fire. Yes, I can sit here and tell of all the stories in the Bible. But you know what? That isn't his greatest miracle of all. The greatest miracle of all is that you are on your way to heaven when you die if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The miracle of all is that I, Daniel George Kalidas, the moment I die, will wake up in heaven. That is a miracle to me. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't thank God that he looked down on me as a young boy and said, you know what, I'm going to save your soul from hell, not only for your past sins, but for the sins you're already going to commit in the future that I know of. I've already forgiven them. All you have to do is accept my gift of eternal life. I didn't trust in my church. I didn't trust in my religion. I didn't trust in my family. I trusted in Jesus Christ alone. But some trust in another gospel. A perverted gospel. But what God is like unto thee? I hope this morning that if you're not saved, you'll get saved this morning. And if you are saved, you'll not forget what God is like unto your God. Whenever you're in a hard time, you have a difficulty in your life, you can look and say, you know what? My God that is able to save my soul from hell can help me through any trouble I have in my life. And I have a peace of mind knowing that no matter what happens in my life, I don't fear death one bit. I don't want to die, but I have no fear of death this morning because the moment I close my eyes for the last time, I'll open them in eternal life for the last time. I'll open them, and I'll never have to close them again because God died for my sins. At this very moment, he's preparing a place for me, not because I'm better than anybody, but because my God is just that good. I can brag on my God. I don't have any problem bragging on my God. There's a lot of things I can't. You know what bothers me worse than cussing, to be honest with you, is when someone takes the name of God in vain. Cussing's bad. When you take the name of my God in vain, that bothers me. That bothers me. And maybe I'm backwards on this. I don't know. But it bothers me when someone just flippantly takes Jesus Christ's name and throws in a few expletives in there. Maybe he doesn't mean anything to you, but he means everything to me. Maybe he's just something you throw around when you stub your toe, but to me, he's a little more than just a name. To me, he's more than just something I throw out there. He's my God. He's my Savior. He died for me. He died for you. Do you believe it this morning? You carried your Bible to church this morning. Do you read it? Nothing I've said this morning did I make up or come up with. Came out of that book right there. And I just thank God that there's a book I can go to that says, you know what? What God is like unto thee. What God? Think about it this morning. You tell me another God out there that can do what my God can do. There is none. I can travel the world and see burial sites of great prophets and great so-called gods. I can see big, fat, bronze statues of a bald man sitting Indian style on the floor. But there's no place I can go to find the body of my Savior. I can't go. There isn't one. Because he's not dead. He's not sitting on a cross right now. He came off that cross. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. That right there is a God. I don't want a God that died. I don't want a God that couldn't even make it out of this earth. I want a God that ascended into heaven. Death and hell couldn't contain him. And now he sits in heaven and waiting for me. The moment I pray, he intercedes my prayer and takes it to the Father for me. That's my God. If he's not your God this morning, let him be your God. But if he is your God, what in God's name are you doing with it? What are you doing with the mercy and forgiveness that he's given you? Sitting on your tail doing nothing with it? Shame on you. Shame on me if we have been shown such great forgiveness and we do absolutely nothing with it. God's left you here for a reason. But I got to ask you this morning, and I'll close with this. What God is like unto thee? Let's go ahead and pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand.